Okay. So again, the reason, the Ruach just dropped it in my heart that it's important to teach about intercession and well and as well, and so you understand all the different aspects of prayer. And I attended a class a couple years ago, which I really liked, on intercession. And one of the things they did is they taught on intercession, and then they actually interceded. So you were getting, even though, you've been interceding, it's also, it's important to understand the foundation for intercession. So I'm going to share from you my notes from that conference, and then what I'll do is photocopy them and then scan them as we're going to send over to you. So today I want to talk about biblical foundation for intercession. Says, although we have several examples in the Bible concerning intercessors like Moses, Job, Esther, Samuel, and many more, to understand what intercession really means, we first have to lay down the foundations of the word intercession. So we're going to look at first the definitions and the meaning of the word. The first time actually that the word intercession comes up in the Bible is Isaiah 53:12. Okay, but we have examples of Abraham being an intercessor in Genesis 18, verse 22 and following. Moses, just a couple incidences in Numbers 14, verses 13 to 20, Exodus 32, 10 to 14. Of course, Yeshua, John 17, we have Daniel chapter 9, and Nehemiah chapter 1. These were all men who interceded. And of course, the greatest intercessor of all is Yeshua, because since his resurrection, he says he is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. And actually, Minister and Scott and I both attended this class, and we thought it was really good. Just some what I liked about it is they taught and then they did it. So that's why I'm doing this. And I'm recording it as well, so you could listen to it over again. So again, Isaiah 53:12, this is the New King James translation. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Again, referring to Yeshua. The Hebrew word for intercession is Strong's H6293, and it's the word pagah, that's P-A-G-A, but it's pronounced pagah. The general understanding from Vines and Strong's dictionary is a twofold meaning that almost seems to contradictory. However, it shows the two main aspects of intercession. So here, Vines gives one aspect, and then we see Strong's giving another. So here is Vines' definition of intercession from this word. It means to collide with, to encroach upon, to drive in, to strike up against, to be violent against. And again, this is, our intercession against, the principalities and powers, and for God's rule to come upon the earth. And then Strong's dictionary brings out the meaning of the word pagah, means to invade, to come in between, to entreat, to meet together, intercession, or to pray, or to be a peacemaker. So again, it's one who is actually standing in the gap and interceding and praying on behalf of someone else. And again, we see that in the lives of so many great men and women of God that, again, we see in Moses' life how he interceded for Israel, even though they had sinned against God and were walking contrary to the word. He interceded. He stood in the gap for them. I mean, Moses. And we see Abraham pleading for Sodom and Gomorrah, that God would have mercy upon them. And of course, Yeshua in John 17, again, praying for those, not only his disciples there, but for future disciples that would come. And then again, Daniel 9 and Nehemiah 1:4, pleading on behalf of Israel. So here we see the two main actions of intercession. The first part is warfare, facing HaSatan in the name of Yeshua on behalf of the person you pray for. Again, we pray in Yeshua's name, means we use his power and his authority that he gave us in his name. It also means to travail, facing the Father on behalf of the person through weeping, prayer, and pleading as if you were for that person. Again, I've experienced in different times of intercession. Again, it's not something you work up. It's just something that happens in the spirit. There's times where, you know, the Father would wake me up sometimes at 3 or 4 in the morning where I felt like something was wrong, but I didn't know what it was. But I would just start praying in the spirit and interceding. And sometimes that travail comes upon you as well, where you are just, you know, praying in the spirit and crying out and weeping and praying for that person. 2, the effect and power of the intercessor. 1 is filling the gap. One of the best examples in the Bible of the work and power of the intercessor is found in Ezekiel 22:30. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. And you know, those last, you know, few words are really sad, that God did not find anybody that was willing to stand in the gap on behalf, again, of his people before him. Ezekiel 22:30, this is a different translation. I think this is a Tree of Life Bible. I looked in vain for anyone who would build again the wall of righteousness that guards the land, who could stand in the gap and defend you from my just attacks, but I found not one. True intercession always comes before the Lord on behalf of others. And again, what is Yeshua doing right now? He's standing at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. He's been doing that for, you know, since his resurrection almost 2,000 years ago, interceding for his people. True intercession also comes before the Lord on behalf of others. Again, there's different types of prayer, but intercession, you know, there's prayer where you pray for your needs. There's prayer, you know, that where you are just worshiping the Father, but this is where you are standing in the gap for somebody else and praying for God to move in their life. True intercession, again, always comes before Yahweh on behalf of others. In the same scripture, we also see the twofold significance of the intercessor: responsibility and power. He or she would create a spiritual wall that suggests that they would restore a breach or an opening caused by an enemy. They would also stand in the gap or plug up that breach against that enemy throughout the building or restoration process. Job gives us an Old Testament or a Tanakh picture of what that means. He cried out, "If only there were someone to arbitrate or mediate between us, to lay his hand upon us both, building the bridge, someone to remove God's rod from me so that his terror would frighten me no more." Galatians 4:19 shows us in the apostolic scriptures examples of the most powerful intercessors. Paul said, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth," which is intercession, "until Messiah is formed in you, until the process is done." So here he's praying, interceding on behalf of new believers, that they will grow in their knowledge of God, that they wouldn't fall, that he would labor until they become mature believers in Messiah. And again, when we read Acts, you know, we've studied, you know, the book of Acts, we see that Paul was diligent to pray for the new believers, to go there and visit them, to make sure that they were being taught correctly and that they were being trained correctly. It also talks about changing the land or saving the people. God is a righteous God, and due to his righteous character, has to judge sin. However, his desire is not destruction, but blessing. Again, Ezekiel 22:30, "On behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it." We see where, you know, again, in the life of Moses, where God was going to bring judgment upon Israel. You know, he told, you know, Moses, "Hey, let me just wipe them all out and you can go into the promised land yourself." But he said, no, you know, he stood in the gap. And he, not that they were right. I mean, he knew what they did was wrong, but because of Moses's intercession, God had mercy and he held back his judgment. Now, in some cases, some people were judged, but he didn't bring it on everybody. Three, how does it work practically? One, intercession has to flow out of a relationship with God. Again, it starts with our relationship with him, knowing who he is, knowing his heart, knowing that he wants to use us to pray and intercede for others. It is not something we switch on and off like a light bulb. It is not a prayer meeting with a few prayer requests. It is a lifestyle. It is not trying to convince God to act. It is joining with Yeshua as he is already praying before the Father. Intercession is partnership with Messiah and what he is praying already, giving us the privilege to join with him in what he does. I just want to look at Romans 8. Let me just get my Tree of Life version out here. Look at Romans 8 really quick, beginning with verse 27 to 28. I've got the Amplified translation, but I want to read the Tree of Life first. But let me just go through the rest of these. Intercession is not performing in prayer or dependent on how long we pray or what methods we are using. It is praying what is on the mind of the Spirit of God. That's why during the week when we spend time in intercession, now Monday nights are, you know, again, we're focusing on learning about intercession, but also interceding for the congregation and our families and the needs of our families and congregation. During the week, it is more, it's different. We are, as we are praying, we are listening to, you know, the Spirit on what to pray for that particular day and how to pray. So this is the Amplified translation. I'll read this first and then I'm going to read from the Tree of Life. Let me just get over to that in the Tree of Life version. And what I found too, that the more you intercede, the more you take that time to pray and intercede, the more you're going to grow in it, the more natural it's going to become to you. And believe me, this is the one area in your life where the enemy's going to fight you the most because he knows that this is where the warfare is won. So let me read the Amplified translation. And he searches the hearts of men, knows what is in the mind of the Ruach HaKodesh, what his intent is, because the Ruach, or Spirit, intercedes and pleads before God on behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. We are assured to know that God is being a partner in their labor, and all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. I want to read from the Tree of Life version these same scriptures. I love Romans 8. It's really a powerful chapter on the work of the Ruach and the Father's love for us as well. Let me see. Let me just find it here. Let's begin with verse 26. In the same way, the Ruach helps in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, I mean, I'm so thankful I have these scriptures to pray, but sometimes, you know, you sit there, okay, I'm going to intercede, and all of a sudden you become tongue-tied. It's like, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to pray about. Well, this is where the Ruach, the Spirit, works with us in their prayer and intercession. Again, in the same way, the Ruach helps in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Ruach himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. And he searches the hearts and knows the mind of the Ruach, because he intercedes for the Kedoshim according to the will of God. Now we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Again, we see that, and I will send these notes to you as well. Again, I don't have a screenshot to give you, but I'll make copies of all these notes and send them to you. God made full provision. He prepared a channel via Yeshua through the Ruach HaKodesh in us. Yeshua is in heaven before before the Father for us. Again, we see that in Romans 8:34 and Hebrews 7:25. So let's just look at Hebrews 7:25 real quick. I'm also going to talk a little bit about the importance of praise and worship as well in prayer. See, sorry, I'm just trying to find the Hebrews 7:25. Okay, therefore he is also able to save completely those who draw near to God through him, always living to make intercession for them. So I think it should comfort us knowing that Yeshua himself is interceding for us, because he knows the warfare we're going through. He knows the evil that is in this world that he has overcome in our behalf. Yet he is still there interceding at the right hand of the Father for his body, for his bride. The Ruach HaKodesh on earth is, in and through us. Again, we read that in Romans 8:26 to 28. The Greek word for helps is, now this is a tongue twister, and I'm sure I'm not going to pronounce it right, but it's sunan telam banomai. That's Romans 8:26. The word sun means together with, anti, against, and lambano, to take hold of. When you start to feel a burden or a need to pray for someone, then be assured Yeshua and the Ruach HaKodesh are already praying for that person. And making you his partner in prayer, you can affect that life in partnership with Messiah according to his design and purpose for that person. You know, and again, you don't have to be in a particular spot to intercede. You could be driving your car and the Ruach will put somebody on your heart to pray for. And you can just cry up to heaven and just, you know, even if it's a short prayer, pray and intercede for that person. You can say, okay, wait, I got to wait till I get home. I got to wait till I get into my prayer corner. No, you could, when the Ruach drops it in your heart to intercede for somebody, you can, again, shoot up their prayer to heaven wherever you are. Through our prayers, we cannot control people to do as we wish, but we can pray God's will into their lives and affect them that way. So again, God will never override somebody's will or their choice, but we could pray that the Father would, that their heart would become softened, that they would yield to the Ruach, that God would send laborers across their path, that they would receive what God has for them. True intercession is being a peacemaker. James 3:18 says, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. And again, intercession is one, you know, one of the things that you're doing behind closed doors most of the time. There's nobody there applauding you and saying, wow, what a great intercessor you are. What a great prayer you did. It's because why? It's done in private. It's not done to put on a show. It's done to intercede and stand in the gap for others. I'm going to read something here too, the importance of praise and worship. And again, I'll send you these as well, these notes. So what is praise and worship? Praise and worship is part of our fellowship with Yahweh Elohim, or our Father. Your praise life and your prayer life are closely tied together. You know, there's different forms of prayer. The rabbis say even studying the word is a form of prayer. Why? Because when you're studying the word, you're spending time with the Father. Worship is a form of prayer. When we are worshiping, we are singing songs of praise and prayer unto heaven. And then also it prepares us for that time of prayer. Praise is a way for us to offer our spiritual sacrifice as priests before Yahweh. The Hebrew word for prayer includes a variety of expressions. Among them are to bless God, to praise him, to give him praise, to kneel, to stretch out your hand, to celebrate him, and to glorify him. So when we are worshiping and we are lifting up our hands, that is a form, again, of praise to him and worshiping him and yielding to him and give him the glory that he deserves. Again, it's not a time for intercession, you know, for entertainment. And again, I'm blessed to see, you know, Samantha here as well, because they lead the praise and worship. And they want to see, again, they're not up there to entertain. They're up there to lead us into the throne room, to prepare our hearts to enter into his presence so we can receive. You know, again, there's a protocol. If you went before the Queen of England, you wouldn't just barge into her throne room and say, "Hey, Queen, how you doing?" No, there's a protocol. There is a way that you enter before her, before here. You don't turn your back on her ever. When you go into the room again, you curtsy, you give her honor. How much more should we do that for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to enter into his court with honor and praise? And it's the same thing even when we're home alone, interceding and praying. We should always start off with praise. Why? So we can get focused and coming into his presence, worshiping for who he is and for the wonderful privilege to come before his throne and to bring our requests and to intercede for others. Worship involves giving. Worship means to bow down in expression and in heart. You know, I remember my grandmother whenever I would, go to her house, every night she would kneel down beside her bed and pray for everybody, her whole family. Again, she never missed it. She would, when you left her house, she prayed for you. I mean, you didn't leave without getting prayed for. Again, every night she knelt down beside her bed and prayed. Again, worship means to bow down in expression and in heart, putting down your own thoughts, ideas, and self, laying everything down and being totally consumed with God. There was one time, it was when we were living in Berwyn, I think, our son was only probably about 2 or 3 years old. But I just started worshiping the Father, and I got so lost in that worship that his glory came down and his presence was so strong that I never felt it, kind of like took me back, because just entering in and feeling his presence and entering before him, just getting lost totally in him. You know, sometimes when we're in worship, sometimes I think we're not, and I say it to myself too, we're not totally engaged because we have our mind going someplace else. We get distracted. But God wants to, again, stop, not focus on ourselves, but focus on him. When we focus and worship before him, his glory comes down, because the word says that he inhabits the praises of his people Israel. You know, why do you think the enemy is trying to shut the mouth of church of believers when it comes to praise and worship? Whoever thought that we would be living in a time where they're saying you can't worship in your church? It's like, that's what you think. Why? Because God inhabits the praises of his people, and the enemy knows the power of praise. Why does he know? Because he was a leader of praise in heaven before he rebelled. So he knows the power of praise. And we're not going to shut our mouths either. Again, worship means to fall down flat. If we look in the Bible, there's so many scriptures where, if an angel appeared before them or they were in the presence of God, they fell flat on their faces on the ground before him. Worship also means to kiss and adore God, adore our Yahweh Elohim. It is a place where we love God and he loves us. You know, again, just thanking him. We just don't barge into his presence. You know, well, here's my list today, Father. You know, here, please, you know, answer this list. But, you know, we need to, again, there's a protocol in entering in his throne. Yes, it says we can boldly become before the throne of grace. Why? Because Yeshua made a way for us to come before the throne. But we come before the throne in an attitude of praise and worship and awe and respect for who he is. It is a place where we love God and he loves us. When you become a worshiper and press into the worship life, you will find that strength of God will flow in you like never before. And also, too, you get connected to his heart. And when you're connected to his heart, you know, his thoughts become your thoughts. His desires become your desires. You know, there scripture speaks about David, that he was a man after God's own heart. And I believe that meant was that he was after the heart of God. He was after, he wanted to do what pleased him. And that's what, why, you know, the father loved him so much. Yes, he blew it. Yes, he made mistakes. And, you know, and he paid for it down the road. But God, he was still a man of praise who was after the heart of God, and he loved God. Again, the book of Psalms is a book of worship. Why should we offer the prayer of praise and worship? We worship him because the command is to worship God, because he deserves our worship, and simply because we love him. Worship in our prayer life is the way we draw near to God and enter into his presence. You know, it doesn't matter whether your flesh feels like it or not. You know, when you at first you may think, oh, I'm too tired, or I really don't feel like it. But when you start entering into worship, it changes you. It brings that flesh under. And he, again, you are entering into his throne room. Hebrews 13:5 says to yield the fruit of your lips by offering praise continually. Again, that's a very Hebraic concept. Psalm 1:4 says, come before him with thanksgiving. How many times, you know, do we just sit around and just say, you know, and look at how he's blessed us and say, thank you, Father, for all you've done for me. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for, you know, my children. Thank you for my home. Thank you for my ministry. Thank you for wanting to use me. You know, how many times, you know, do we forget to thank him? Psalm 150 says everything should praise him. Psalm 145:10 says all of his works should praise him. Psalm 147:1 says it is good to praise God. Ephesians 5:19-20, offer praise from your heart. John 4:23-24, worship him in spirit and in truth. Psalm 34:1, bless the Lord at all times. And I think it goes on to say that his praise shall continually be in my mouth. And that means in good times and in bad times. You know, it's easy to praise him when things are going great. But how about when things aren't going so great? Isaiah, that's the sacrifice of praise right there. That you can praise him when it looks like things aren't going right. But, you know, when you trust him, you know that he is there and that he is going to help you and he's going to bring you through. Isaiah 61:3, he gives beauty for ashes and clothes us with a garment of praise. So what happens when we offer praise unto Yahweh? Psalm 22:3 tells us that God actually inhabits the praises of his people. Praise causes God to live and dwell with us in a much deeper way. God loves for us to include free, bold, and strong praise in our prayer life. Praise releases faith and creates an atmosphere in which God can move. It releases miracles. That's why it's so important, you know, that we, when we're at Shabbat service, to, again, prepare the way for the word, to prepare the way for the Father to do what he wants to do, is to enter with praise and worship first. Again, to get focused on him and allow him to do what he wants to do in our midst. The more we yield ourselves to God in worship, the chains and the holds of the world and the flesh break off us. The power of his presence brings a cleansing from unrighteousness and works the holiness of God in us. I know there are times when I needed healing in my life. Like, I used to get really bad gallbladder attacks. And, you know, right away the doctor wanted to take the gallbladder out. But, you know, I just said, you know, Father, no, I trust you. You are my healer, you know, and I would just start getting into praise and worship and just worshiping him, and the pain would go. And, you know, as I was worshiping him too, he showed me through different, you know, like healthy methods, how to cleanse my gallbladder. And I haven't had a gallbladder attack probably in 15 years or more. You know, or times when I'm feeling sick or down, that's the time you enter into his court with praise. You enter into, you know, and allowing him to heal you and to strengthen you. I tell every time that, you know, again, when I'm not feeling good, I start praising God, you know, and entering into his presence, and that worship, I'm focusing on that worship, and it brings healing to me. Psalm 22:3, again, God inhabits our praises. Let's look, I'm going to turn to read that in the Tree of Life, Psalm 22:3. Okay, here it gives a little different, it's verse 4, because the Jewish translation, the Tanakh, it's the verses are a little different, so this would actually be verse 4 in the Tree of Life. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. So again, some translations say God inhabits the praises of his people, but some they stop right there, but the whole scripture says enthroned on the praises of Israel. Acts 16:23-31, Paul and Silas were supernaturally released from prison, and I think I talked about this last Shabbat. What were they doing? Here they're in this dungeon, again, the worst hole there was in these prisons, and these weren't like the prisons today are like, you know, hotels compared to the prisons back then. These were dungeons. These were wet, damp dungeons, and they were chained to the wall with guards around them. But what were they doing? They were praising God. They were worshiping him. And in the midst of that praise and worship, you know, an angel came and their chains were released and they were set free. 2 Chronicles 20, King Jehoshaphat defeated the enemy through praise. This is why, again, the enemy wants to shut our mouths. He wants to shut the mouths of praise among believers. Psalm 8:1-2, praise stills the enemy. Let me just look at that. Let's go to praise 8:1-2. Adonai, our Lord, how excellent is your name over all the earth. You set your splendors above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and toddlers, you established power because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you established, what is man that you are mindful of him, or in the Son of Man that you care for him? Yet you made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and majesty. But here too we see where it talks about out of the mouths of babes and toddlers. You know, Yeshua said the same thing. He said that, you know, that you have to have that faith as a child. Unless you have that faith as a child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. You don't have to convince the child that God's real. They believe it in their heart. They may not know any scripture, but when you're sharing them, God is real. You know, I've had, you know, my son, it was so cute when he was about, I think, a year old or 2 years old. We were at a worship service and they started, you know, praying, you know, doing the praise and worship. He's in the middle of the aisle dancing and twirling around and worshiping God. And it was just like so cute. It was totally uninhibited. He didn't care what anybody said. He was in the middle of the aisle twirling around and dancing and worshiping. When Ruth's daughter, Sophia, she was about the same age. We were praising and worshiping, and she's up in the front, and she's dancing and worshiping God, you know, without hinder. That's the kind of attitude we need to have, you know. If God wants to dance before him, who cares what somebody else is thinking? We shouldn't be looking at anybody else anyway. We should be focusing on him. If he wants us to raise our hands and to worship him, if tears come, you know, the word says, before the rocks cry out, I'm going to praise him. I tell you, when we get a hold of that, when we start seeing, we see through the worship. I mean, we've seen the Father, you know, come into our presence, you know, in the congregation during praise and worship. But I'm believing it's going to come an even stronger way, you know. And again, God is looking for the attitude of the heart. I know sometimes, you know, Jesse and Samantha think, oh, well, we're not good enough. You know, that's a lie of the enemy. It's the attitude and the heart in praise that brings his presence. It has nothing to do if you're a professional musician or a professional singer. It's the heart and attitude of the worship to the Father that brings him in. The purpose and power, again, of praise and worship. Praise puts God in first place. Praise is always turning our attention from ourselves to God. You know, as long as your mind is on yourself, you are never going to enter into worship. As long as you're looking around thinking, is anybody looking at me? You're never going to enter into worship. It's remembering and recounting who he is and what he has done. Praise turns our eyes from ourselves to God. It focuses our thoughts on his majesty and power and invites others to do the same. What do you think they're doing in heaven? They are praising and worshiping the Father. What do you think the angels are doing when we're worshiping on Shabbat? They're worshiping and praising the Father right along with us. We raise our eyes and our heart to see his face and to affirm again our awe of him, our gratitude for his love and mercy, and our absolute dependence on him. In essence, praise is bragging about God instead of us or the idols of this world. It's celebrating who he is and how he relates to his people. Praise flows from our friendship with God. People who praise God on a regular basis do so because they have found the Lord to be altogether lovely, and they can't stop thinking of him and talking of him. They have gotten close enough to him to see his true nature and character, and they have found in him more than everything they have ever hoped for. You see, you can't brag about somebody you don't know. At least your bragging cannot be truthful and sincere. Therefore, through praise, although praise may start with what you know about God, it must eventually progress to what yourself have experienced of him. This is when praise becomes more than a chore or a duty. You don't have to work up your praise because it automatically bubbles up within you. Your relationship with God is confirmed for you that you are blessed at all times. He is your joy, your strength, your comfort, your peace. You know, everything, you know, you're all in all. Your life is anchored in him, and his goodness brings his name to your thoughts and your lips repeatedly. In other words, praise that flows from a deep relationship with God is genuine and true. Your words and acts of adoration arise naturally from your heart. This does not mean that you always feel like praising. In truth, this does not matter. When your relationship with God is deep and lasting, praise comes no matter what you are experiencing, because how you feel does not change who God is inside of you. I know one of the prayer books I was just reading, Jewish prayer books, you know, they even said, you know, sometimes, you know, you're entering into prayer and it just seems like rote. You're just saying words. But he says the more you're entering into that prayer, the deeper you will start getting into that prayer and connecting with the Father and connecting with his heart. You know, again, it's not how you feel. I mean, if everything we did for the Father was based on how we feel, we wouldn't do anything. You know, because the flesh, it says the spirit is willing, but the flesh. You know, so we enter in, you know, why? Because, you know, okay, those of us who are parents, you know, how would you feel if your son or daughter never thanked you, never hugged you? You know, all they wanted was, you know, gimme, 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 you know, oh, another toy for me. Oh, you know, but never thanked you, never hugged you, never said you love you. You know, as parents, it would break our heart. How much more our Heavenly Father longs to hear from his children, longs to spend his time with him. And when you think about that, think about the millions of people there are here on this earth, you know, the millions of believers there are, yet God hears your prayer specifically. To me, that's like mind-boggling. You know, there's times where I've prayed and it was just a thought. You know, it wasn't anything that I was just really, you know, believe in God for. It was just a little desire in my heart that God also just brought across my path. And I was like, wow, thank you, Father. That again, those little things, he cares about those little things, but he cares about a relationship with him more than anything. And again, Yeshua is our example of how our relationship with the Father is going, it should be. Praise is a conscious choice. Praise is an act of your will. When you offer God true praise, you make a conscious decision to commend, approve, and glorify him. Praise, therefore, is not based on your emotions or feelings. You don't have to feel great or even good or okay to praise Yahweh. Despite the many things in your life that may seem to be wrong, praise is your conscious choice because you know that God is the answer to your problems. As long as he is in charge, things will get better. Your intimate fellowship with him makes the difference. You can focus on what is right, God and his goodness to you, no matter what else is wrong. I know, again, times in my life where, you know, I may have been hurt or discouraged or, you know, something happened in my life that just really, you know, knocked me over. The only cure for those hurts and pains was I would get into praise and worship. I would just put on some good praise and worship music and just worship him. And as I was worshiping him, he'd heal those hurts. He'd heal, you know, that pain within me and let me know that he is with me and that he loves me. Again, there's so praise and worship is so powerful when it comes to our prayer life. The attitude is quite evident in Psalm 42, where the psalmist laments that his life is not like it once was when he went to the house of the Lord with great joy. His body hurts. Tears are his lot now instead of music and laughter. He even fears that God has forgotten him. So long has it been since he felt God's presence. Yet this hurting and despairing man makes a conscious choice. He exercises his will and chooses to remember God and his goodness. Notwithstanding his misery and his sorrow, the psalmist gives himself a lecture. He says, soul, why are you upset? Why are you sulking and fretting as though you have no hope? Don't give up. Put your hope in God. He has not given up, even if you have. So stop dwelling on everything that's wrong and start thinking about all that's right. Remember the friendship we've enjoyed with God. Recall his many acts of kindness to us. The difficult places we're in right now isn't the end of the story. We are still going to praise him, our Savior and our Elohim. So let's look at, we'll end this with Psalm 42. Let's look at that Psalm. Again, I'm reading from the Tree of Life Bible. This is written by the sons of Korah. Hallelujah. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When will I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. While they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng, walking with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, a multitude keeping a festival. Why are you downcast, O my soul, and why are you murmuring within me? Hope in God, for I will yet praise him for the salvation of his presence. My God, my soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and from the peaks of Hermon and from Mount Mitzar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, Adonai commands his love, and at night, his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go about mourning under the oppression of the enemy? As with a crushing in my bones and my adversaries taunt me by saying to me all day, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you murmuring within me? Hope in God, for I will yet praise him, the salvation of my countenance and my God. Again, the enemy is the one who taunts us when we're going through those tests and trials, you know, making us think, well, you know, God's not going to answer your prayer. Oh, God left you. You know, he doesn't care about you. I remember when I went through, I was in, probably about a believer for maybe a few years. I was a new believer that, you know, I would just spend, you know, hours just in prayer and worshiping the Father, and I would feel his presence. And then, you know, all of a sudden it's like his presence was gone and I didn't know why. It's just like, God, why can't I feel your presence? I don't understand. What have I done? You know, and the enemy's like taunting me. Oh, he's left you. You've done too much. What makes you think he loves you? You're not saved. You know, this, you know, you can't, you know, God's left you. And I felt really, literally, I felt the darkness. It was like, God, where are you? But what I did, I just said, you know, Father, I just stand on your word, because your word says that you would never leave me nor forsake me. That you promised that you would be with me. And it does, I don't care how I feel right now, even though it's horrible. There's nothing more horrible than just to feel that his presence isn't there. But I just kept on praising him and thanking him and, you know, and standing on his word. You know, knowing that his word is true. It didn't matter what I was feeling right now. It didn't matter what the enemy was trying to tell me. And when I had, again, it went on probably for about a week. And I was in church one day, and the pastor's wife, who was very prophetic, and she didn't know what was going on because I didn't tell anybody. She says, the Father's, you know, again, she said word for word what I was going through. You know, it says you've been crying out to God, and you've been in darkness, and you don't know why. And God had said, he says, I was just allowing you to be tested to see where your heart was, and your heart was turned towards me. So again, it was a test I was going through. But, you know, again, God wanted to, he knew it was in my heart, but you know, why I went through that test, I think it was just for things I was going to be going through down the road, but it was just a word of encouragement to me that God, even though I didn't feel like he was there all along, and he knew exactly what was going on. So again, we cannot base our prayer or our worship on what we are feeling. We base our prayer in our worship based upon what God's word says, because God watches over his word to perform it in his life. I want to just cover a few more things here. Perhaps you are carrying a heavy load right now. You're going through some of the toughest times humans experience. Don't let your troubles keep you from praising Yahweh. I know that you may feel like you are facing hardships few others have had to face, or you have lost hope that your circumstances will ever change. This is precisely the time, dear friend, that God asks you to praise him. He knows that you are hurting. He knows that things won't always be the way they are now. In fact, he is waiting to act on your behalf, but he needs to provide a dwelling. You need to provide a dwelling place for him, an altar in your life where he can show up and praises that altar. Again, during this time we are going through now, you know, we're all going, you know, experiencing, you know, maybe different difficulties, but this is the time to praise him as never before. This is a time where praise is our battle cry. Again, that's why the enemy's trying so hard to shut our mouths. But he's not going to be able to in Yeshua's name. There's a whole lot of people they'd have to throw in prison to do that. Yep. And then we'll praise him there and he'll get us out. Just like Paul and Silas. Hallelujah. The worst thing we can do right now is to give in to that. You know, it's really a satanic challenge to us. Say, okay, I'm gonna make it a law where you can't praise me. Guess what? We're gonna praise him no matter what. Praise is an expression of faith. Faith without deeds works is dead. James 2:17. Likewise, praise is in the heart, but if it's not expressed, is dead. Therefore, faith is the highest act of praise. And praise is the highest form of faith. Both are expressions of agreement with God. When you have faith, you hold to his promises no matter what you see at that moment. When you praise him, you proclaim what you know to be true despite evidence to the contrary. Think of Abraham when he tied Isaac to that altar on Mount Moriah, Genesis 22. I'm sure Abraham wasn't singing, dancing, and praising God in a festive way. Most likely his heart was quite heavy, yet the very act of placing Isaac on that altar was an act of praise. Why? Abraham was expressing his trust in God and his confidence that somehow everything would come out right. After all, had not God given Isaac to Abraham and his wife Sarah when they were quite late in years? He had also promised that Abraham would have descendants more than the sand of the sea. Moreover, those grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren were to come through Isaac, the son of promise, not through Ishmael. So either God would provide another sacrifice in the place of Isaac, or he would somehow restore Isaac to Abraham after the sacrifice. In either case, Abraham was willing to trust God to keep his covenant, and the promises went with us. You know, I think none of us have ever had that test in our life. I mean, we've gone through tests and trials, but again, it was a picture. That was a covenant picture right there. Because in a covenant, the weaker makes a covenant with the stronger. So here is Yahweh, his strength, making a covenant with Abraham. And in a covenant relationship, whatever belongs to one belongs to the other. So because Abraham was willing to give up his son, his only son, God in turn and made a way for Yeshua to come, Yahweh's son, to bring redemption to us. So an attitude of faith in the midst of hard times is always at the core of sacrificial praise, because it is based in the assurance that anything is possible with God. And again, that is a sacrifice of praise. It's, you know, it's, again, it's easy to praise when everything is going fine, but praise when everything going wrong is an act of faith. It's saying, Father, I trust you. Your word is true, and I'm going to worship you because I know you love me and you have the best intention for my life. In other words, you've got my back, so I don't have to worry, and you are going to make a way where there seems to be no way. And that's when we see the miraculous enter in to our life. Elvina McCain, our Father, our King, Father, we thank you. We praise you and thank you, Father, for all that you are doing in us. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of prayer, for the privilege of standing in the gap for others, Father. And as we are praying for others, Father, you are making sure that there are others praying for us as well. And Father, we pray in faith, and we thank you for those answers as well, and we praise you for those answers. So again, you get all the glory and praise for it, Father. Father, I thank you that we continue to grow in your grace and your mercy and your love, and that you would stir our hearts, Father, to spend more time with you, that each of us would have that quiet time with you. We would have that corporate time of prayer with you, that you would use us, Father, to intercede and pray for others, because intercession is opposite of selfishness, because we are taking time to pray for other people's needs and other people's situations, Father. And Father, I just thank you, Father, for raising up intercessors, Father, in this ministry, raising up intercessors within families, Father, as we stand in the gap, Father, and stand on your promises, again, knowing that you are watching over your word to perform it in the name of Yeshua. Father, we bring before you the prayers of our congregation, Father, the needs of our congregation. I just want to pull out the prayer list here, because again, Monday nights we're focusing, you know, mainly on praying for our the congregation, our families, our extended families. Oh, here's the prayer list. Okay. Father, I just thank you first that we come before your throne in the mighty name of Yeshua. And we thank you that we can call you Abba Father, that we have a father-daughter, father-son relationship with you. Father, I just bring the ministry before you, the congregation before you. Father, I just thank you for your strength in every family's life, Father, that is represented in this congregation. Father, I just lift up before you yes, Pat Baker, Father. I thank you that you protect her in her assisted living place, Father, that you are a wall of fire around about her and that no weapon formed against her can prosper. I pray for Andy and Carolyn Borski, Father. I thank you. I pray for, again, along with us, I pray for family salvation of all of our children, especially our grown children who are on their own now, and our grandchildren and sons and daughters and aunts and uncles that don't know you. Father, I just thank you that you are bringing laborers across their path. Yeah. Father, you loved us so much that you sent laborers across our path. And I know personally, myself and Minister Scott, we didn't have praying parents. We didn't have parents who had a relationship with you. So how much more, Father, are our prayers powerful, Father, in bringing our children back to you, Father, those that believe you and are serving you according to your Torah, and have a relationship with Messiah, our Redeemer. Father, I pray for Jeff and Evangeline Burns and their family. Father, I pray that you protect Evangeline as she is working in the hospitals, Father, that you are keeping her strong and her family strong. Father, I'm looking for the day that we can all be back together again as well, Father. Father, I pray for her son, Sean, and Yvonne, and their children, Hayden, Julian, and Micah as well, that they would continue to grow in the word and the, your knowledge. Father, I pray for Ruth Cruz, her grandson, Levi, Derek, and her granddaughter, Penelope, her children, Michael, Anthony, Samantha, Sophia, and Maribel. Thank you for protecting her from the car accident, Father, that no harm came to her, and that she even said she just felt like, again, your protection came upon her at that very time. And I thank you that you're going to provide a new car for her, Father, and provide the funds for her. You see, she's a single mom, and she doesn't make a lot of money, but I know that you're going to make a way where there seems to be no way, Father. Father, I pray for Maribel, for her artistic and teaching gifts, Father, that they would be used for your glory. For Shirley Holmes, Father, I thank you, even though she can't be with us, I thank you for her faithfulness, Father, to support the ministry. I thank you for total healing in her body, for her eyes, and that she has full function, Father, of her arm after that stroke. I thank you for James and Melissa Martin, Father. I thank you for healing James of that cancer, and that he is cancer-free in the name of Yeshua, Father, and that he is strong in you and the power of his might. For their children, Joshua, who is in the Army, Father, and Brandon, who wants to go into the Army, thank you for your protection over them. For Sherry Rizek, Father, I thank you that you continue to bless her and protect her in where she lives as well. And I thank you for her faithfulness, for her salvation, for her children, Teresa, Timothy, her grandsons, Dexter and Hendrix, and Matthew and Sue. Yes, Father, lift up Letitia Vargas before you. I thank you for her faithfulness, Father. Yes, thank you that you are making provision for her. Thank you for increase in her job direction, Father, for where you want her to be.
Yes, Lord.
As far as work, Father, and I thank you that you are moving in the lives of her children, Amanda, Julian, Giovanni, Frankie, and her granddaughter, Addison Claire. Father, I thank you for Jesse and Samantha Humango and their willingness, Father, to serve you in praise and worship and teaching and children's ministry. Thank you for their children, Layla, Rachel, David, Noah, and Nastia, Father, that they will grow up to be mighty children of Yahweh. Father, for Josh and Elizabeth Simons as well, Father, we pray for Arden, Wyatt, Audra, and Aiden, Adelin as well, that they will grow up to be mighty men and women of God. I thank you that you protect our children, Father, that your angels encamp around about them, Father. I thank you for Joshua and Elizabeth, Father, and that you are making a way for them where there seems no way. And I thank you for the call that is on Josh's life as well. Father, I pray for Susan Newton as she is traveling and they're looking for a place to live, possibly out of state. Father, I thank you that your perfect will is done in this situation, and you lead them to where you want them to be and make supernatural provision. We thank you for her son, Jason and Tiffany, Father, that they would stay on that path of righteousness. They're both in college now. And Father, I just pray, Father, for all of our children. My son, our son, Scotty, Father, I just believe that you are working on his heart. That seed has been sown in his heart as a child. And Father, I thank you. You said in your word, if you train up a child in the way he should go when he is old, he will not depart from it. I thank you, Father, that all our children who are adults, Father, and might astray, that you are bringing the prodigal home, that you are bringing laborers across their path. You know how to reach them, Father. You know how to touch their hearts just how the same way you knew how to touch our hearts in the name of Yeshua. Father, I just bring before you our outreach, Father, to the Wheaton-Winfield area or the areas we live. Father, I pray that these door hangers, Father, people will know that, hey, there's somebody there that will pray for them and to help them and encourage them, and there's a place that they can come to grow. Give us boldness, Father, to go out there and just hang those hangers on doorknobs and let you rock, do the rest. Father, we thank you that you are, even the name, them looking on the name of Yeshua is going to stir their hearts, because that is a name above all names. Yes. Father, I thank you for boldness and wisdom and stamina. Again, these are seeds we're just starting to sow. And I thank you that you are going to give us the next step on what to do after that, just as you always have, Father. Father, I just thank you for supernatural strength for everybody in the congregation, supernatural provision and supernatural health and healing. Father, I thank you that none of us will leave this earth, Father, before finishing the race that you have given us to win, Father. Yes, sir. That we will all fulfill those callings you've placed upon our life, Father, that we will, again, when we go, that we will leave good seed for the next generation, Father, if you should tarry. And I pray that Yeshua comes soon. Hallelujah. Bo Yeshua, Bo. Father, come quickly, Yeshua. But we know that there's still work to do, Father. And I thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because that's what your word says. Father, I thank you that you are giving us that supernatural anointing and power to do what you have called us to do, Father. I thank you that your word says, Father, that signs and wonders follow those that believe. And Father, I know you're stirring in people's hearts in this congregation. You're giving them an excitement, Father, to get out there and be bold for you, Father. And Father, I just praise and thank you that you are making the path ready for us as we are praying and interceding as well. And Father, we just, again, cast down thoughts and imaginations, because the enemy would love to come and cause strife and division. But Father, we just come against it, that we are ever ready to believe the best of each other, Father. That we are not going to listen to the lies of the enemy, because that's all he can do is lie. But we are going to believe what your word says about us as brothers and sisters in Messiah. And that's what we're going to pray for one another. And that we are going to encourage one another and be a blessing to one another, Father. Because Yeshua said that they will know that we are your disciples by the love that we have for one another. And Father, I just thank you for this prayer school, Father. I thank you that you are building us up, Father. You are showing us the power there is in prayer and praise and worship. And to, again, be praying by the Spirit, Father, praying your word, praying in the Spirit, coming into your presence and worshiping you. Father, I pray that we will continue to grow and get even closer to you and hear your heartbeat, Father. Hear what your heart is. And I know your heart cry is to see people come to know you, to have a relationship with you, because that's why Yeshua came. That's why you made that covenant with Abraham, was to make a way for people to come into your presence and be a part of Israel and be a part of your family. And Father, we just ask you that in the days we are living in, that you would just use us, you would increase our gifts, Father, that you would increase our ability, Father, that to whether it's in praise and worship or teaching the children or teaching youth or praying and interceding, whatever you've called us to do, that we are going to do it for your kingdom and your glory, Father. In the name of Yeshua, we pray, Father. And I just thank you, Father. I thank you that for that harvest, Father. I thank you that we want to be a part of that harvest, to see people come to you, Father, to have their lives changed and transformed by the power of your Ruach because of Yeshua, our Messiah. And we thank you, Father, that you keep us humble before you, Father, that we will be vessels that are yielded to you. And Father, that we would be obedient to do what you have called us to do. In Yeshua's name, praise you, Father. If anybody has anything on their heart they want to pray as well, just go ahead and unmute yourself and pray.
Yes, Heavenly Father, I come boldly to your throne of grace with the congregation, O Lord. We want to come and say thank you, O Lord, for you are the mighty God that has done wondrous works for us, O Lord. You heard our cries, O Lord. You've taken care of us since our youth, O Lord. We come to say thank you, O Lord, for you are the mighty one of Israel. You are our Abba, our Father. We cry in the adoption, O Lord. You adopted us, O Lord, into the kingdom, O Lord. We want to say thank you, O Lord, for the mighty things you've done for us, O Lord. We thank you every day, O Lord, for your goodnesses and kindnesses, O Lord. We ask you, O Lord, to be merciful and kind upon us, O Lord, in our requests, O Lord. We ask you, Almighty Father, to bless us abundantly, O Lord, that we may further your kingdom, O Lord, that your name will be known throughout the world. You will get the glory and honor in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise you, Yahweh. We bless your holy name, Father. We bless you and we thank you. We thank you, Father, for looking down in heaven and seeing vessels that you want to use. We thank you for your love and your mercy, because your love and mercy endures forever, Father, that even in our weakness, Father, you still want to use us. Because when we are weak, that is when you are strong in our life, Father. Thank you for all your provision, Father. Thank you that we have a roof over our head. We have clothes in our back. We have food in our house. Father, we praise you and thank you for your heavenly provision in our lives, Father. And Father, use us as vessels as well, that we would help others, Father, that when we see a need, Father, that we are there to help. It doesn't matter if it's little or big, Father, that we are willing to help with what we have. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Father, that we will, that the enemy cannot shut our mouths, and we will continue to praise you, Father, and worship you, Father. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you for your boldness, Father. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you as well for those that need healing, especially those that belong to you, Father. We thank you for that healing comes in their lives, Father, that they strengthen themselves by what your word says. Father, we pray for anybody in the congregation or family or friends that have need of healing, Father, and we just pray again for that you would send forth healing in their lives, encouragement in their lives, Father, in the name of Yeshua. As we know you are faithful and we know your word is true, Father. Hallelujah. Sure. Increase our faith in your word, increase our trust in you, Father. Hallelujah.